Welcome into the lounge presented by DraftKings. Today we have a special treat. All right. So there are so many like contributors to the Ravens content sphere. Mm-hmm. It is literally global, right? And today we have James Ogden of the UK Ravens podcast joining us to really break down this wide receiver class. And make sure you check out his work, not only at the UK Ravens podcast, but also his draft guide that you've done for how many years now, James?
This is the second year it's come out, third year of doing it.
Yeah. Okay. So check that out on, you can find that he's pinned it to the top of his X profile at NFL Ogden. Thank you for joining us, James. And he's from the UK, coming over right now. Where is it? London? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm from I'm originally from Manchester. I live in Nottingham at the moment.
So. Okay, very
see if,
cool.
See if people can get past the accent when I'm talking.
Exactly. And the crazy part is, like, you're here in the flesh. This is not a Zoom podcast. You're in the flesh, coming to Baltimore. So first, start out there. What brought you here to Baltimore?
Yeah, we come over a lot. Me and my wife, we just had an 11-month which is our daughter, who's now 11 months old, and my wife's like a bit of a rock star in terms of like the HR universities world, which is very specific, but she's speaking at a conference and doing all sorts of stuff. So she's got a couple of contacts here at the Ravens with some research she's been doing, and so we were here for that sort of stuff anyway, but then you guys reached out and here we are.
Just pretty awesome. Well, I read your draft guide and I was extremely impressed, and I listened to you talking to Ken McCusick also about the Ravens wide receivers, and actually my uncle was like, you got to check this dude out, like, he knows his stuff. And so big credit to my uncle for kind of putting me on the right track. And I was just really, you know, you kind of talk about how watching wide receivers is really what you like to break down, that wide receiver tape, and we had Cole Jackson talk about offensive linemen already, and so wide receivers is always a popular topic, as you know, here in Baltimore. And so we really want to kind of get your take on which guys fit the Ravens the best, right? Mm-hmm. And so to start off, you know, if we're looking at the first round, you know, pick number 30 or whatnot, we're probably looking at a handful of guys, Adonai Mitchell, you know, from Texas being one, Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, maybe Xavier Worthy, maybe a Keon Coleman, those guys. First of all, I think Mitchell's getting some attention as maybe this is a guy that will be there and like the Ravens can make the pick. How good a fit do you see him, Adonai Mitchell, being for the Ravens?
Yeah, Mitchell's a funny guy for the Ravens, I think. Like, he, in some ways, he's exactly, you know, I talk about, sort of talking the guide a little bit about, I think the Ravens are looking for their DK Metcalf type to their Tyler Lockett in Zay Flowers.
Right.
And so they're maybe looking for a particular type of X receiver. And Adonai Mitchell sort of fits that. So one of the things in this draft is there's lots of guys who get off press really well if they're not jammed at the line. Mm-hmm. But they struggle when they get faced with a jam and they get hit in the chest and they don't necessarily have the play strength or the technique to be able to get off. Mm-hmm. Adonai Mitchell is really competitive. He's physical. He'll get off press. He's that type of X receiver. He is going to go deep downfield well. He is going to make those types of catches. He's good. He's got good hands. Mm-hmm. The problem with Adonai Mitchell for me is that he doesn't, the Ravens are going to need the guy that they draft to be able to attack the middle of the field and run some of those routes in the intermediate area really well. And for me, he has a lot of technical aspects to work on in that area. Mm. You know, we'll probably talk about it as we get into it. I think you separate in three ways. You separate with, this is where my English accent sort of, I try and do American. You separate with processing, or you separate, I have to say processing.
Just
doesn't sound as good. I can get by with route now, that works fine. So you separate with processing, you separate with technique, or you separate with athleticism.
Yeah.
And Adonai Mitchell will separate with play strength. He is going to separate with athleticism, but the technique there, which you do need, especially on those underneath routes, just isn't quite there. And there's a lot of things to work on, which is what worries me with him. In my guide, I talk about performance and potential in my grading. Yeah. And potential is a bit about headroom to develop, but also about how likely it is you're going to develop. And when I look at Adonai Mitchell, I see loads of technical elements that he has to work on. Mm. And what is the likelihood that he's going to get to be able to improve all of those different things on the different types of routes that he's going to work the middle of the field with?
Interesting. Mm.
So I want to back it up just a little bit. And as we're looking at this whole receiver class, like, if it was a perfect scenario for the Ravens, a realistic one, I mean, we're not talking about Marvin Harrison falling down there, but like a realistic scenario for the Ravens, who is like the guy at wide receiver in your mind who is the best case scenario? Maybe it's even in the second round. Like, who is the best case scenario for the Ravens to land a wide receiver?
So I'll give you two, if that's okay. All right. Because one's a cheat, because I don't think it's going to happen. But Brian Thomas Jr. would probably be the dream scenario here. Like, he is easily the fourth best receiver in this class. The top three are moonshots. They're just right. Some of them are. I mean, I could talk about Malik Nabers' game all day. He's ridiculous. but the top three, you're never going to touch. Brian Thomas Jr., there's a chance maybe with this class being so deep that some teams think, oh, no, I can wait on a receiver. I can get one in the second or third round. And they just sort of eschew it in the first round. And Thomas Jr. starts to fall, and then he gets there. He's a guy who, you know, is just a physical freak. He's extremely young still. I think he's not turned 21 yet. And the guy has got loads of development still to do, but you see the ceiling there. And some of the technical elements I talked about with the Donnie Mitchell are better with Brian Thomas Jr. And so he would be a great pick if he fell, but I think that'd be a very, very
still a long shot.
It's a real long shot.
Or a trade up potentially, are they really going to trade up for a wide receiver? Right?
And also when you think about it, if they're going to have to, the distance they're going to have to go up potentially to really secure a Brian Thomas Jr. is probably going to cost you the second round pick. Right. And there's a lot of good talent in this. Right.
They're not doing that.
So they're not going to do that.
Right.
So the guy I would want, and it would have to be with a trade back, you mentioned the pod with Ken, and I think this got a reaction.
I know who you're going to talk about right now.
Because I said I'd take him at 30 on Talanoa, yes! and Ken obviously went mad because you wouldn't, if you're playing the draft, you don't take him at 30. You trade back and probably get him in the 40s. And this is only true. We talked before the part about offensive line, and I think it's only true if the offensive line board gets obliterated just before they pick. But for me, it would be Ricky Pearsall, who is an ex. Lots of people don't sort of, they don't see the Chris Olave type X receivers as X receivers, but they are in the routes that they run and the way that they play. They just don't go up and get contested catches all the time like DK Metcalf. But they are an X wide receiver. And for me, Pearsall, I don't understand why he's gone so under the radar in this period of evaluation. I thought maybe there's something I miss. I mean, on tape, he looks like he runs fast. I was like, maybe there's something I'm missing. Maybe he's not going to run fast. And then the kid just blows out of the combine as well and barely got any press for it because obviously Xavier Worthy did what he did. Right. So the kid is incredibly athletic. He's got all the technical ability you want in the world when he runs routes. He's got great hands. It's hard for me to not sound hyperbolic talking about him because there's not a lot not to like about Pearsall. And the main thing people should do is just go back 2 years and go watch him bail out Anthony Richardson all day. And that's one of the things I've kind of looked for in this draft is guys who can get open on broken plays because that is something that is going to really help in Baltimore.
To run through Ricky Pearsall's stats from last year at Florida, 965 receiving yards, 65 catches. He's 6'1", 190 pounds, and you spoke about his 40. He ran a 4.41 in the 40-yard dash at the combine. So highly productive and athletic.
And his vert was 42 inches, which is 100th percentile.
Yeah. Wow. So there's those jump balls.
He had some of the most ridiculous catches like in college football last year, like one hander, like ridiculous highlight reel stuff.
Yeah, and the explosion shows up in the route as well. Like it shows up when he's separating. That's the thing that's so sort of staggering with me. Like there's a few sort of technical fix on some of the routes, but it's so tiny. I would question a little bit. Obviously, when we're talking about X, you want a guy who can separate with play strength as well. Someone who's gonna if someone's gonna get physical with him at the break point, you want him to be able to get away from that and not have them be sticky there. But he's a guy who can't do that well, but you expect that for his size. And
right.
But he's not necessarily going to do it, not going to have to be doing it that much because he's so gifted technically in terms of his salesmanship in the route, but also in terms of his explosion. You know, DBs aren't going to get hands on him, unfortunately.
You should be his agent. You are selling me on him right now.
He's like, well, I've had Xavier Leggett like in pen pretty much for the second round pick, but now I heard him talk about Ricky Pearsall, and I was like,
You're selling him.
Leggett's an interesting guy. Leggett's a guy who I think you got to know who he is. Like he's a guy who's, you know, he runs those vertical routes great. He also drops his weight on hitches and comebacks really well. You know, he's gonna get open on those types of routes.
Which it seems like Lamar, he likes to throw those.
He does, right. Yeah, and I think that's why he fits really nicely. He's like a Metcalf type. But then if you're expecting him to do loads more than that, you're gonna be disappointed. You know, he's a guy, I heard a comp, Alshon Jeffrey.
Interesting.
And I think that's the Alshon. That's the comp for him, really. Is the best comp I've heard for him.
Yeah,
and,
pretty good career.
He had a good career.
Yeah.
Like that would work. Zay Flowers is going to be the guy that I expected him to be watching his college tape last year at Boston College, and he's going to turn into, like, and the rookie season sort of tells you that he will. Then you're not looking for number one. You're looking for number two, not in terms of productions.
Right. So between, like, Ladd McConkey's obviously been a guy that people have kind of, some people have projected him to the Ravens at number 30. Do you think he would be a good pick at 30?
So I think he's probably worth that on talent. Like the thing with Ladd McConkey is you see him do everything so technically well that you sort of think, oh, this, again, it's kind of the pistol. You think this guy must run slow, but he doesn't look like he runs slow on tape. Right. And obviously he didn't run slow at the combine either. And so he's a really talented guy, technically excellent. You're going to have, the reason I'm not as high on him for the Ravens, I think, is because of the role he would play in the Ravens offense. And he's pretty versatile, but I think he's probably getting a little too close to the Zay Flowers archetype of receiver. And then the other thing you're going to need, I think, with him is you're going to need a dominant number one who can draw the top corner on every team. The guy, like Devonta Smith, is an amazing receiver. The reason why he's in the stratosphere he's in is because AJ Brown draws the tough corner every game. And so I feel like McConkey needs that. And if McConkey gets that, he's going to be, you know, like Jordan Addison was great last year because he's got Jefferson on the other side from him. Because if he gets jammed at the line, he struggles a bit. And so that, I think that's going to continue over into the pros. But he's a good receiver, and certainly worth the in the right offense, I think he's going to be worth that type of pick. I'm not sure that's the Ravens. Right.
So I'm curious about Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. Just if listeners, don't know, 6 foot, 186 pounds. The question that I have on him, and you talked about this in relation to your draft guide in terms of measuring production and potential, like he didn't put up, he had a better 22 season in terms of production than he did in 23. In 23, from a production standpoint, 30 catches, 478 receiving yards.
Right, that's my thing. It's like you're less than 500 yards in college. Like, what makes
now the year before was better?
Over 500 in the pros.
Right, the year before was better. He had 58 catches for 762 yards. And that year, that was when they obviously won, you know, the national championship. Todd Monken, I mean, the Monken connection from Georgia is easy to make. He also had two great tight ends in that offense who were taking a lot of attention away from him and allowed him to run free. That's just my question.
Catching a lot of passes for a lot of yards, you know.
Like I'm just curious. Like, and this is part of the challenge in evaluation. Like the production, like, wasn't really there last year, and so, like, I'm just, it's hard for me to be like, why are they going to take a guy at 30 who didn't even put up 500 yards last year?
Yeah, and it's a fair question. I think he projects as a better pro than he does as a college player. I think the system he played in limited him from that perspective. It wasn't just the two tight ends. He had Mitchell there for a while as well. And so the way they played on offense, I'm not necessarily sure it. He was one of the more dangerous guys on that team. And so they had to, he got a lot of attention from opposing defenses. And I think that's why I mentioned the fit, I think, with the team at the next level. If he's a guy that doesn't have to be that guy, if he's a guy that's a secondary weapon, then there's a chance of him really thriving at the NFL level. Again, but I think for the Ravens, I just wouldn't have him that high. I wouldn't be taking him at 30, I don't think.
Right. Keon Coleman out of Florida State is a player that it seems like people are either really hot on or cold on. And you talk about, like, guys who go up and make contested catches. That's Keon Coleman, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think, you know, if 30 seems a little rich, but if the Ravens were to trade back, which a lot of people are speculating they could, is he a good fit for Baltimore?
So I could talk about Keon Coleman all day because he's a fascinating fit with the Ravens. He's a great, I think he's a very good receiver. I think he's probably, he's in my top five. obviously people would talk about the 40. It was just, I think it was 4.62. But the kid plays fast on tape, and I know people talk about that, and it's derided sometimes, but they actually measure the speeds at the combine now, and he had the fastest speed in the gauntlet drill catching balls. So the guy plays fast.
And that was like Puka Nacua last year.
Exactly.
Didn't run a fast 40, but on the gauntlet drill, like, lit it up.
Yeah.
And he did all right. Yeah. You know, as a rookie. So.
Yeah, he did all right. But yeah, so the thing with Keon Coleman is a guy... So his role is what's really interesting about it at the next level. He is a contested catch guy. That's great. He can play outside. He can play that game. He can play that role. And that is something that the Ravens might be looking for. I think he's better. He's a better fit as a big slot because he works the underneath areas just incredibly well. For a guy his size, he sinks his hips. He gets open with technique, explosion, processing. Like, he's everything you want in underneath areas. But the thing I would say is he is open after his break for 2 to 3 steps, 1, 2, 3 steps after his break. Because his athleticism is not great, you can get a guy who comes back, a DB comes back into it with elite athletic skills, he's going to get back into the route. So it is really important that the offense he goes to works with timing.
Anticipation throws.
Yeah.
Right.
And I've seen all the stuff with Kurt Warner and the sort of criticisms about timing in the Ravens offense and Lamar. And I don't agree with Warner that he seems to intimate that Lamar needs to fix this to be a great quarterback. I think Lamar's proven he's a great quarterback. He doesn't really need to be great at timing, but I would surround him with weapons that work for him. And I don't think Keon Coleman would be at his best in the Ravens offense.
Interesting.
Now, that doesn't mean they won't take him, and it doesn't mean he won't have a great career if he's not taken in that type of offense, because he makes those amazing catches. He's got a ridiculous catch radius as well. If he's not contested, he'll catch everything in sight. Mm-hmm. So he's an interesting one. He takes me back to Tyler Linderbaum, who I loved as a player, but never thought the Ravens would draft him because of the gap scheme that Roman run. Mm-hmm. And I was dead wrong there. So perhaps they see something in their offense that they might be able to change, and then he would be a good fit. But at the moment, the way Ravens offense is run at the moment, I wouldn't say he's the best fit, but I do like him very much as a player. Mm-hmm.
So what about Xavier Worthy out of Texas? And at the combine, he was the one everyone was talking about because he set the record for the fastest 40 time ever at the combine. And so when you do that, you catch a lot of people's attention. And yeah, I'll start there. And what is your take on him and whether he would be a good fit?
Yeah, and left Eric DaCosta open mouthed as well.
Yeah. Exactly. Everyone caught that on camera.
Wow. The memes were great.
Yeah.
So he's a polarizing guy. When I do my guide, I'm grinding tape for 2-3 months, longer if I do with stuff I do in the autumn. But when I really start to write reports, it starts at January time, and I'm going through all this tape, and I don't read or listen to any other content because I don't like it polluting what I think of a player. And then I come out and start to read stuff about players. Right.
That's the problem with sitting like in the office of Garrett. A lot of pollution, it's just like ear pollution, a lot all the time.
Yes, it's very opinionated.
It's actually more vice versa.
Very opinionated,
but I'll make the joke for you.
You got it in there first. preemptive strike. So I don't read that much, but I did start to read some stuff recently, and some guys I respect, evaluators, do have him quite highly rated. The thing for me with Worthy is, and I need to go back and watch some more tape on him from some of the stuff I've read, I think, because I was quite reasonably low on him, but I am liable to be a bit contrary about guys that are ridiculously fast. I really like the technical elements of the game of playing receiver.
Right.
So he's got a ton of things to fix in terms of getting open and separation. The technical things we've already talked about, his hands specifically has a particular deficiency with his hands. And I've got a thing about analysis with hands. I think it's when you know what you're looking for, you can see really clearly on tape when someone has a deficiency with their hands. Mm-hmm. And he attacks targets in basically with the incorrect technique when he's running perpendicular to the line of scrimmage. He's going to drop balls when he's running digs and slants because of the way he tries to catch the ball.
Interesting.
So there's a bunch of things he's got to work on at the next level. But then you see the speed, and you do see some elements of his game where he is a nuanced route runner. He is a guy who can get open with the release. But the play strength problem does play into his game. You know, he doesn't sometimes get off the line very well when he's jammed.
I mean, he's a pretty thin guy.
Yeah. You're going to have to sort of have a DeSean Jackson like plan for him where you kind of scheme him free releases, you get him in motion at the snap. So there's going to have to be things you do to get him to work. But so I think there's a, he breaks my golden rule of like too many things to fix. So don't get too high on him. He's breaks my Treylon Burks rule where I was way too high on Treylon Burks because he thought he had all the potential in the world and was like, actually he had way too many things he needed to fix to be able to get there. So that's my thing with Worthy, but he's an intriguing guy. And I actually think probably talent wise, you probably are going to get teams who see him in the 20s to 30s type bracket, I think.
So I almost kind of want to see that happen because I don't really like the fit for the Ravens. And to me, it just reminds me of John Ross. You know what I mean? Like, here's another guy who just like the 40 blew the doors off the 40 and then obviously was just a bust for the Bengals, right? Yeah. And I'm not saying Worthy is definitely going to be that, but like when I see that speed and the frame and all that kind of stuff, it just is reminiscent for me. So like, I almost want to see him get drafted before 30 to like push another player down.
You push another player down. Yeah, I mean, I think that
now we're going to take him, and I'm going to have to scrub this from all from the vault here. You know,
or he's going to be a like dynamic pro who just turns into Deshaun Jackson and is hitting deep balls all the time. And you're going to have to also scrub that from the archives.
That's how
either way, you're in
like
trouble.
When he says like, I don't like this player for the Ravens, he then also is like, but I think he's going to be great. I think he's a great player for somebody else. You always have to hedge your bets.
Yeah.
Smart. See, he's ahead of the game.
It's like a breakup. We're not working out, but someone else is going to be very lucky to get you.
It's funny though, right? Isn't it? It's one of the reasons why I do the guide in the way that I do, because the national media have to evaluate these guys from a generic perspective. They have to talk about these guys. And actually, the range of outcomes is really so much based on team fit. So I've got a day job and I'm like, I can't spend all my time in the world doing as much as I'd love to. But I'm able to, as a Ravens content creator, I'm able to look at it specifically from a Ravens lens. And I think that that's really valuable because the range of outcomes is very different depending on where these guys go, I think.
Totally. So I'm curious, you know, second round seems like a sweet spot for the Ravens at wide receiver. Second, maybe third round seems like a good one. I already talked about Xavier Leggett, who I think could fit there. Ricky Pearsall, if he were to fall to the Ravens in the second round, that seems like a great pick also. If it's not one of those guys, because, you know, I see Leggett sometimes at the end of the third, of the first round, I mean, like people are projecting him to the Chiefs in some mocks. Who is your second round wide receiver for the Ravens other than Pearsall, who I know you already would love to take there?
Yeah, it's got to be Pearsall, hasn't it? So there's a few guys that I kind of like. I think so one guy who gets a lot of play, and I think he probably will be a second round pick. It might be a little bit. He may be a little second, third type is Javon Baker out of UCF. So he's an intriguing guy. Another guy who I'm definitely predisposed to like because of the way he technically plays the position. He's very gifted. He has enough athleticism to get by, but he's not going to blow past guys. So he's an interesting guy that I think would be someone who sort of fits the Ravens in the sense that he's like that Chris Olave archetype of X wide receiver. I think that could sort of fit what the Ravens are looking for in terms of role. So he's an interesting guy, but the guy I kind of like, that sort of goes a bit under the radar because he probably was the third best receiver on his college team, is Jalen McMillan. And with Jalen McMillan, you have to go back and watch tape from 2 years ago because of the injury he had a sort of knee injury in the year he came out, and it lingered throughout the season and it really affected his play. So if you go back and watch his sophomore tape, it's a different thing. He's a guy who just, he's another one who has enough athleticism. I think he ran under a 4.5 at the combine. But he's just, I like the fit with the Ravens because of the way he separates with technique and processing. And I think with the Ravens, we probably need to get past the, I know I talked about DK Metcalf at the start on that type, but I actually think we might need to get past the basketball team analogy with the Ravens for this offense of you always have to build a basketball team of wide receiver guys. And I think this Ravens offense is just built different. They're looking for guys with speed. They're also now increasingly looking for guys with technique and great hands. And I think Jalen McMillan sort of fits that. And so he's a guy who maybe in the second round would be somebody you'd focus on. But again, another guy who's maybe second, third borderline are going to drop a little bit. And then the other guy that you would probably talk about is Jalen Polk, who's the other Washington receiver.
Right.
Yeah. Who's exceptional. But I also think there are better fits for him. The Ravens face a lot of zone coverage, and Washington faced a ridiculous amount of zone coverage last year. He gets open really well on those types of routes, but he would be a nightmare if he went somewhere with the Chiefs where they run those option routes, because he gets open really well on those. But Monken has talked about giving a bit more rope to the receivers to kind of be creative and respond to what the defense is seeing. So maybe he'd be a guy who fits as well.
Okay. That's good. So this is a question that, you know, if you nail this, you know, every NFL team is looking to find this guy. But we talked about Puka Nacua. So we had Jeremiah on the podcast a few weeks ago. He just talked about how you can find receivers everywhere. Like, there's going to be another Puka Nacua in this draft. Now, maybe it's, you
not
know,
quite that good.
Maybe not to that level, but like, there's going to be guys who are highly productive who are mid to late round picks, you know, day three picks. And so, you know, I think the Ravens will absolutely add a receiver in this draft. I don't know that it's a guarantee that it happens on the first 2 days. And so maybe they try to go as a day three pick. I think that's likely the case, but I think that if they wait because they don't like how the board falls, and all of a sudden now they're looking in day three.
That fourth round pick they got from Maury Moses.
Yeah, it's like
early fourth round.
You're looking, Nacua was a fifth round pick last year.
Right.
Again, that's like the exception to the rule, but who is in that mix that has potential to kind of be those big time late round players who be productive?
So the first thing I say is Nacua is fool's gold.
Yeah.
You're chasing him. You're chasing your tail.
Yes.
Especially if you're not Sean McVay, because I think the way they schemed that, he was a great fit with the Rams anyway, but they did a really good job of maximizing his talents. So,
it's kind of like being like, we'll just get a quarterback in the sixth round. You found Brady in the sixth round. Exactly. That was easy.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's two guys I'm going to mention. The first one is Malik Washington, but I don't think he's going to be a fifth, sixth round pick. I think you see it in the media where he's not really talked about very much. I do think teams will probably be higher on him. He's a really good, yeah, he's great. The guy I really want to talk about is Aeneas Smith, who is not, he's not Nacua, you know, but he's also not a gadget type. Like, most people will pigeonhole him as kind of a gadget type runner. So he played for Texas A&M. He just did everything in that offense. They had him run out of the slot. They had him run the ball. They had him run from the flanker position, from the backfield. It was crazy what they did with him usage wise. And he's special. Like, I put on the tape first of all with him and was watching him. I was like, wow, why is this guy not getting what? Like, he's not anywhere on my list. Like, I don't understand why he's like, he should be like second, third round guy. And then I find out he's got some serious character concerns. He's got two, I think it's two DUIs. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of stuff with him off the field that teams are going to have to get close to and understand that. Mm-hmm. But the talent there is off the charts. He would come into the Ravens as like a souped up Devin Duvernay. Like, it's going to be totally different the way that you could run him in so many different ways. It'd be like Duvernay in that offense a couple of years ago when the Ravens felt like we maximized Duvernay as much as possible. But he's also, Duvernay was always a linear guy, just a straight line guy. Mm-hmm. Could come backwards and forwards as well, but he was linear. Whereas Aeneas Smith is just, he's explosive and he's fun to watch. And
interesting.
So he'd be a guy I think that would be, yeah, I think it'd be an interesting fit with the Ravens as well, but he would be the guy I'd sort of hang my hat on and say, if the off-field stuff is okay, then he's going to be a later round pick and someone's going to get a steal.
Well, I do think, you know, the Ravens signing Hardy, you know, kind of Deonte Hardy changes things a little bit in terms of what you're looking for. If you're going to draft two receivers, or even just one, what that guy looks like. It's not maybe so much of the returner experience, the gadget guy that you lost with Duvernay leaving.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Aeneas Smith can be more than that, I think, is the thing. You start him out in that role, but I think he can play full-time receiver sort of long-term, probably as a flanker, a Z option, or out of the slot. So I think there's a pathway for him there to develop, where he's got a much higher ceiling than just a punt return gadget type guy. Like, you start him there, but I think eventually he develops into a guy that is a really really exciting weapon for an offense.
Just a couple more for me. Can you explain to the layman out there what you really are talking about when you're talking about a traditional X receiver that you think the Ravens want an X? To the folks who don't break down film and know it with that much nuance, like what do you think the qualities are that the Ravens are looking for?
Yeah, it's really the types of route that they're running. It's not necessarily the profile. Like, you can see a guy like DK Metcalf who's going to be running deep go routes, and he's also going to be running hitches and comebacks, and that's most of his route tree. But he does do some other stuff too. But is Next Gen Stats is a great thing to go and look on Next Gen Stats and DK Metcalf's route tree, and you can see like the sort of heat map of where he runs his routes, and that's exactly what he does. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to have the X player, X receiver like that. It depends on the offense you're running, and the where you want them to succeed. So Chris Olave is a great example of an X who specializes on those vertical cut routes, which are the ones where you're posting corners, basically, where you're sticking your foot in the ground. You're using what's called a BAM step to turn. So you're sort of using your elbow to turn your body. Your posture is good. You're able to get the DB's hips turned the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And when you're running in an offense like the Saints run, Olave can be your X because you don't need a dominant guy who can go up and get contested catches. That's not what an X necessarily has to be. So it depends what type of X the Ravens are looking for, but it's more about the routes they run. The focus of the offense is he the number one read? You know, it's that type of thing that you're looking for, really, I think.
Interesting.
The last question for me is actually not a draft question, but it's about a guy who's already on the roster, and that's Rashad Bateman.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what I was just going to ask. Yeah. Talk about too. I mean, he's been their ex.
So he's obviously last year he was more productive. You know, he's been hurt, you know. So like last year he was healthy over the course of the year, but not as productive as he would like, and of course the Ravens would like. But I think the hope this year is that you take that to the next level. And with him and Zay, you feel pretty good, you know, if those two guys can stay healthy. What is your take on Bateman, how he fits? You know, there's a ton of stuff, I'm sure you've looked at it, that shows that he's getting open a lot. And so what is your projection for Rashad for this year?
Yeah, I was always really high on Bateman. I was high on him coming out of Minnesota. I think he's a guy who can definitely take a leap. The nerd in me is like kicking me in the brain, though, and saying, like, come on, like it's going to be a third year breakout, and it's kind of rare that you see a receiver come into the league and then have sustained success after a couple of years of challenging production. Obviously, a lot of it was down to injuries, but he is a good separator, and he's another guy that we've talked about with the way he separates with technique and processing that's really good. I do think he fits the offense. Like, Lamar likes guys who get open, and he does get open. Like, and so I know that sounds really simplistic, but that's the type of target that Lamar likes. So there's definitely something there, and I feel like this is why this whole conversation is framed by the fact that the Ravens might not take a first or second round guy, because you've got Bateman in there, and they may believe in his ability to realize his potential. And I also think the Ravens seem to have started to, a few years ago when I sort of wanted to look into like why the Ravens have been so bad drafting receivers over the years. For me, all it looked like really was when you looked at the teams that were good at drafting receivers, they just took more swings. And DaCosta talked about that when he first sort of took the job. And they have taken more swings. And I think Bateman is one of those swings that they've taken, and they should probably give him the chance to sort of ride it out and develop. And then you get the chance to address some of the other holes on the roster in the draft. Mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting. The challenge is, I think they try and match up their needs with the strengths of drafts. And, you know, if I think he's a breakout candidate, but I've been really high on him for years. And the sort of, like I said, the metrics sort of tell you maybe he's not going to be.
Right. All right. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Last question here. The Ravens are drafting which receiver? If you nail this, we're going to tag you on social media all over the place. He called it, you know, which guy do you think is the most likely that the Ravens will draft? He's thinking.
It's got to be in the second round, I think, because I just cannot see them moving away from offensive line. And I think the challenge for me is that the guy I would love for them to draft, obviously, is Pearsall, but I'm not sure. I think the league's going to like him a bit more than the national media seem to be. Mm. You can tell I'm shilling for time here. I think if I'm going to put a plant a flag in the ground now, I think he's probably going to, it would probably be Leggett that would be the most likely at this point.
Yep.
I mean, he seems to be the one that there's a lot of just buzz and interest in. You know, you can only take whatever fans on Twitter for, you have to take it for what it is. You know, it's just fan chatter, but I think that there seems to be interest and excitement in him. So I think plenty of Ravens fans would be happy if he's the pick.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like it's a good marriage of fit, you know, player and where he's going to land in the draft, right? Yeah. Like value, you know, Eric DaCosta, he and I see value the same way. Always looking for a bargain.
Yeah, but Eric, right? Eric gets some good stuff. You just, you
take the crap. Yeah. Is it free? I'll take it. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way in the draft.
I think Leggett is fine. Like I said before, if you know, if you understand what you're getting with Leggett, which is there is potential there and he's going to win early on certain types of routes, but you're going to have to be patient with him on other things, then fine. I'm on board with that. I
think. Right. Cool. Well, James, thank you so much for joining us. Listeners out there, check out his draft guide. You can find it on his X profile at NFL Ogden, and make sure you're listening to the UK Ravens podcast, which we're big supporters of. We've appeared on.
Yeah.
Ourselves. It's a great podcast, so make sure you're listening to that as well. Thank you so much, James.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.